Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is Sukkah daf Chaf Gimel. Hope all is good. A good Erev Shabbos. We're here at the Mishnah at the bottom of Chaf Beis Mabeis, and the Mishnah says like this: Ha'osa sukkasu brosha agala o brosha svina. If you make a sukkah at the top of a wagon or on top of a boat, at the Rashi points out here, it's at the highest point of the boat. Makom gavoa shel svina, that Rashi says, and that's going to be important, as you'll see on Chaf Gimel and Aleph, as we discuss whose shita this is. But okay, so if you make that, those types of sukkahs are kosher. Ve'olam la b'yantif, and you can go into those sukkahs on yantif. Why wouldn't you be able to go into those sukkahs on yantif? So we'll see. Rashi points out that the next case you cannot go into the sukkah on yantif. So the Mishnah simply wanted to stylistically match, but it's obvious and pasha that you can go into such a sukkah on yantif. So the next case is as follows: Barosha ilan over al gabi agamal. But let's say you made a sukkah at the top of a tree or on top of a gamal, a camel, then kshira ve'ein olam la b'yantif. Then the sukkah itself is kosher, but you can't go into that sukkah on yantif. Why not? So, as if you remember from Masechet Shabbos, so there's a gzeira called hishtamshus ba'ilam, the dinder rabbanan that you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos because you may come to break off a branch. Similar gzeira, you're not allowed to go, right? Animals are muktzah, you're not allowed to ride an animal on Shabbos as well. So a Shabbos yantif, so therefore you're not allowed to go into either of those sukkahs. But technically they are kosher. Now, shtayim be'ilan ve'achas be the adam, or shtayim be the adam ve'achas be'ilan. Let's say you made a sukkah and two walls, either two of the walls are made through the tree, and one is made on your own. Let's say, you know, be the adam, some man-made structure, or the other way around, shtayim be the adam ve'achas be'ilan, or two of them are man-made. Two of the walls are man-made, and one of them is through the tree. Now, what's the problem here? The problem is that the sukkah is only kosher through the tree. Right, the sukkah, as you remember, needs three walls. So you have two bide adam, or one bide adam, right? And one through the tree, or two through the tree, meaning the tree is an intrinsic part of the sukkah. If you take away the tree, as you'll see in a second in the Mishnah, at the end of the Mishnah, it'll say clearly, if you take away the tree, the sukkah will be no good. So in that case, kshira, the sukkah itself is kosher, right? No problem making a tree as one of the walls, but ve'in olam la b'yantif, you're not allowed to go into it on yantif, because that is hishtamshus ba'ilan, you're using the tree as a crucial part of your sukkah, and so you can't go in on yantif. But shalosh bide adam v'achas b'ilan, but if you have three other walls aside from the tree, and the tree is the fourth wall, so then kshira v'olam la b'yantif, you can go in there on yantif, it's no problem, zeh klal, because this is the rule. If you could take away the tree and the sukkah would still be good, so then that's not considered hishtamshus ba'ilan, that's not considered to be using the tree. So therefore, if you have three walls, which is good, is independent of the tree, and the tree is the fourth wall, so then you can go into it on yantif, that's not considered to be using the tree at all. Okay, so the Gemara says, Mani Masnisan, who is this sheet of the Mishnah? Which sheet of the Mishnah? So we had a bunch of cases, specifically, as I mentioned before, the case with the boat. The boat says you can go into the sukkah that you build on top of a boat is kosher, and you can go into it on yantif. So whose shita is that? So that's Rabbi Akiva. He did Tanya, as we learned in our Braisa, if you remember, towards the beginning of the Masechta. Zayin Mabez. Ha'ola sukasa barosha svina. If you go into the sukkah at the top, the tallest point in the boat. So Rabbi Gamliel poso Rabbi Akiva machshir. Rabbi Gamliel says it's no good. Rabbi Akiva says it's good. And sure enough, Maisa Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Akiva shayuban besfina. Sure enough, there's a story about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva who were on a boat on Sukkot, and Amad Rabbi Akiva also sukkah barosha svina. Sure enough, Rabbi Akiva got up and made his sukkah at the highest point on the boat, and Lamachar, and the next day, Nashpa Ruach Vakrasa, the wind came and destroyed it. And Amar Lo Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel said to him, almost taunting him a little bit, Akiva Heichan Sukkascha, where's your sukkah now? What happened to it? Obviously implying that he shouldn't have made his sukkah over there. If I'm not mistaken, the Achron discussed where Rabbi Gamliel's sukkah was. Either Rabbi Gamliel didn't make a sukkah, or he made one much lower, and apparently that sukkah survived. So, all right, either way, regardless of what Rabbi Gamliel was doing over here, this is Rabbi Akiva Shita in our Mishnah, who says that a sukkah at the top of a boat is fine. So what's the machlokas? So as the Gemara explains, Amar Abaye says that dukuli alma hecha de inas yecholo lama baruch matsuya diabasha lo klami. The question is, again, you have to make a sukkah that is a stable structure. It doesn't have to be necessarily be permanent, right? It needs to be at least a dira sarai, according to many. According to some, as you remember, it has to be even more permanent. It has to have some aspect of keva, of permanence. But it has to basically, it has to, in the basic sense, be able to stand, and the phrase is, baruch metsuya, in a normal wind, in a normally found wind. So everybody agrees, says Zavaye. If your sukkah cannot stand in a normally found wind, diabasha, i.e., a wind that's found on land, because as you'll see in a second, the wind at sea is more powerful. So if it can't stand in a normal wind that's found in a random neighborhood, in, let's say from Kew Gardens Hills, so then lo klumhi, then that's not a sukkah, right? That's not a thing. Yichol lama b'she'ena metsuya. Diabasha, if the sukkah can stand even in an abnormal wind found on land, so then kuli amal pligi dikshira. And obviously, everybody will agree that that's totally fine. Ki pligi, the machokas is, b'diyachol amal baruch mitzuya diabasha. The machokas is when the sukkah can theoretically stand in a normal wind on land, but it cannot stand, and the Bach, the Mesos Shas changes it here, as it makes a lot more sense, the sukkah cannot stand, Baruch Matsuya Diyam, in a normal wind that's found at sea, which is presumably more stronger than a normal wind found on land. Rabbi Gamliel, Savar Sukkah, Diras Keva Be'inan, Rabbi Gamliel holds, and if you remember, we mentioned this as well, that he's one of the ones who holds that you need some sort of permanence to building a sukkah. He holds that the sukkah needs to be Diras Keva, has to be a little bit more permanent, and therefore, V'chemin She'eni Yechol Lama Baruch Metsuya Diyam, since it can't stand a normal wind found at sea, so then Lo Klumi, the sukkah is no good. Therefore, you can't build a sukkah at the top of a boat, because the normal winds will knock it over. Rabbi Kiva Savar, no, Sukkah Diras Arai Be'inan, that Rabbi Kiva holds that a sukkah is a temporary structure. And since it can stand a normal wind that's found on land, so it's kosher, even if technically you cannot stand a normal wind at sea. Okay. Al gabe gamal, we said on top of the camel, right? That is fine. So the Gemara says, Masnisa money, who is this like? Whose shita is this that you're allowed to make a sukkah on top of a camel? If you go to Neot Kedumim, Mitz Hashem's tourists will be allowed in for sukkahs, and you go to a place called Neot Kedumim, it has all of the examples of these last few Mishnayos. You make a sukkah in a tree, a sukkah that's 20 amos high, sukkah on a boat, sure enough, sukkah on a camel. Last time I was there, camel wasn't there, but it did have the reins, I think they tied to like a wooden thing, and it had a sign that said, oh, let's say you make a sukkah on a camel. All right, anyway, maybe they should bring the camel in for the week of sukkahs, because that's when they're obviously most busy. Either way, who is the sheet? This is Rabbi Meir. The Tanya has brought in the Raisa, Ha'usus, Rikosa, Agabi, Behemoth. If you make a sukkah on top of an animal, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Pozo. Rabbi Meir says it's fine. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not fine. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's reason to passel a sukkah on top of an animal? Because Amakra Chaga Sukkah is Tasa L'Chal Shivas Yomim. You need to have a sukkah that is there for. You have to make a sukkah for yourself for 7 days. And sukkah haruya l'shiva shmei sukkah. Sukkah she'in haruya l'shiva, lo shmei sukkah. Says Rabbi Yehuda, when he darshens off in the pasuk, you have to make a chaga sukkah tasalach shivas yomim, you have to make it for yourself for 7 days. The sukkah has to be usable for 7 days. And since you have Shabbos in between, and you can't go into the sukkah on Shabbos, or on Yontif, right? So it's no good. Right, for the sukkah itself is unusable for all 7 days technically, because you can't go in there. So therefore, that sukkah is no good. Rabbi Meir, what does Rabbi Meir say? Well, it seems to be a pretty good proof. So Hanami midaraisa mechzachazia for Rabbanu deGazruba. Right, Rabbi Meir says, what's the problem with going into a sukkah on an animal? It's a dindrabbanan. You're not allowed to go on an animal on Shabbos. So it's midaraisa, right? This is totally fine, right? Technically, midaraisa, this is a sukkah that is made for 7 days. It happens to be that the Rabbanan came along and said that you shouldn't go into it, right, on Shabbos Yanta for an external reason. But tachlis, the sukkah you built was fine, so therefore it is kosher. Okay, asa lebehema dofen the sukkah. Let's say now a different case that you used an animal as a wall of a sukkah. Well, that's for whatever reason you have a lazy horse, you're just chilling there. So you put the schach right on top of a, let's say you have a structure that then somehow you use the horse or whatever it is, right? The cow is not moving much as one of the walls of the sukkah. So here the shittas are reversed. Rabbi Meir posel, Rabbi Yehuda machshir. Right, Rabbi Meir says it's no good, and Rabbi Yehuda says it is good. Shire Rabbi Meir Omer, because Rabbi Meir says, called Amr Sheish, but Ruach Chaim, and Oso, Lo Dofen the Sukkah. Well, there are a bunch of halachos over here, but Rabbi Meir would say that anything that's alive, you're not allowed to use for a bunch of halachos. First of all, you're not allowed to use it for a Dofen the Sukkah, you're not allowed to use it as a wall for your Sukkah. For a Lechi Lamavu, you can't use it as a Lechi, if you remember. To remind you, right, to carry in a mabui, to make sure, right, you can't just put an animal at the end as you're laughing, to remind yourself not to go into the Bshizer Rabim. Philopasin Labiros, right? That's Pasi Biros. If you remember that you're not allowed to use it, if you remember the people who were traveling to Yerushalayim, so there were wells along the way, and you couldn't get the water out from the well, because the wells are Shizer Yochid, and they're traveling as Shizer Rabim. So Chazal allowed you to make these little L-shaped corners, right, and create some sort of mechitzos that way. So you're not allowed to use the animal for pasi biros as one of the corners. For little goel a kever, you're not allowed to use the animal to close up a kever. That's going to be because the top of the kever is obviously going to be mekabel tumah, tumas mace. And you're not allowed to use an animal to cover this kever. Again, it's not, what he really means is, look at Rashi over here, is that it's not going to be mekabel tumah. Meaning, normally, the top of a kever, the top of a casket, is mekabel tumah, but either because it's an oil or whatever, Rabbi Meir is going to say that the animal is not going to be mekabel tumah. It doesn't count as a golel, doesn't count as a kever. Okay, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Aglili, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, Af in kosman alo gitin nashim, right, you're even allowed to write a get on nashim. Okay, a get on the animal to give to a woman. Okay, either way, but Pashas is, again, Rabbi Meir says that the animal is not allowed to be used as the wall of a sukkah. So the Gemara says, my time is Rabbi Meir. What's Rabbi Meir's logic? So, machlokas, Rabbi Abaye says, Shama Tamos, because we're concerned that maybe the animal will die. As we'll see in a second what the problem with that is. Rashi already clues you in. V'yipol yesh benevelaso asara. And therefore, the animal will fall, right? And when it dies, it collapses. So if the animal's not big enough, it won't be 10 tefachim high. Then you just lost your wall of your sukkah. Rabbi Zera says, Shema tivrach. Right, so maybe the animal will run away. Okay, and what's the difference between the two of them? So the Gemara immediately delves into what's a nafkamina. So the Gemara, first of all, the Gemara says, "Bepil kashur, if it's an elephant that's tied in," and obviously they're using an elephant, not because elephants are readily available for circle walls, but it's using an example of an animal that's obviously going to be more than 10 tefachim, even if it dies, right? Even if it just drops there. So, and if it's tied up, right? If it's an elephant, then it's tied up. So then you have neither problem, right? It's not going to run away, and it's not going to. It's not going to die and become less than 10 tefachim. So, kuli amal pligi, right? Everybody agrees that it's totally fine. Dinami ma'is yesh benevi laso yud. Because if it dies, you still have 10 tefachim there, and it's not going to run away. Ki pligi bepil she'eno kosher. The machlokas is an elephant that's not tied up. Wait, lama damar shema tamas, according to Rabbi Meir Abaye, who says maybe the animal will die. So lo kashinan. So we have, it's no concern, right? Even if he dies, so then he just drops there, and there's plenty of room for your wall, your sukkah. But if we're concerned he's just going to walk away, so then obviously we are concerned that he will walk away. Now the Gemara asks, those concerns are not mutually exclusive, right? It could be that he'll walk away as well, right? Why isn't, right? According to Abaye, he says he may die, the animal might die. Why aren't we concerned that he'll run away, right? Why is that not a concern? So Gemara says, you're right. So let's revise. Really, if the elephant is not tied up, everybody agrees that it's no good, because maybe it will walk away. Ki pligi, the machlokas is, bebehima kshura, the animal is tied up. According to the one who says, maybe it'll die, and then we're concerned that you will not have enough size. Once the animal dies, it'll fall to the ground. It'll be less than 10 tefachim. And lamad amar gzeira shema tivrach. And according to the one who says, according to Rabbi Zeru, who says it may run away, it's then lo chashin. And then when you're not concerned, if you tie it up, lamad amar gzeira shema tivrach nechosh nami shema tamos. Right. Okay. So now flip it on the other side. Why is Rabbi Zeru not concerned that the animal will die? Right. If he's concerned that it'll run away, but why aren't we concerned that it'll die? So misa lo shchicha. My answer is here, not that Rabbi Zeir is actually concerned for this. He's not concerned for this. Meaning we had said before that Rabbi Meir is concerned for both. That maybe the animal will die, or maybe it'll run away. Here, Rabbi Zeir is not concerned for the animal dying, because that is not common, right? Obviously, much more common for an animal to run away. Right? It only dies once, right? And I'm sure the animal runs away many times in its life. So he's not concerned for it to die. Okay, fair enough. So the Gemara says, one second, how could you use an animal regardless? Right? An animal, if you ever looked at an animal, horse, cow, whatever it is, it's not a solid wall, right? It's a space between, right, the bottom of its body and the ground. Right? Obviously, if it's more than 3 tefachim, right, we're not going to be able to say lavud, and the wall is not valid. So Gemara says, David lei behutza v'dafna. So it must be that you stuffed some sort of branches right underneath, so to take to fill up the space. Okay, so the Gemara says, "I the Doma Riva." Well, maybe the animal will bend down again, and now just be, let's say the animal is 10 tefachim tall, exactly, right? Let's say it's a small animal. Let's say it's a dog or whatever, and maybe it'll just bend down and sit right on all fours. So then you're stuck with, forget running away. Just animals sometimes do that, right? Depending on what animal you're using. Maybe it'll just get down on all fours, and then it'll be less than 10 tefachim. So the Gemara says, "The meticha be'ashli." Now, so it must be that the animal is also tied on top, right? And it can't necessarily crouch down and get under 10 tefachim. Sorry, be'ashli mila'el, meaning it's tied la'el on top, right? And it can't do that. I lamanda amar gzeir shematamos. According to the one who's, well, if you're telling me that the case is where the animal is tied on top, so then even if the animal dies, so then nami hametichah be'ashli mila'el. Well, it's still held up by the ropes, I guess, that you use to tie it. So why should we be concerned at all that it'll dip under 10 tefachim? So Gemara says zimni demukin bepachos mishlosha samach l'schach, because sometimes with the animal you're not necessarily resting the schach on the back of the animal, but sometimes the animal is less than 3 tefachim from the schach. Meaning the sukkah, over here, Rashi explains over here that the sukkah, if you look at Rashi, the last Rashi in the Amud, pamim she'inga begavoh shal behema ela sheva umashu v'sukkah asara. Sometimes you'll make the sukkah exactly 10 tefachim tall, and the animal itself is 7 tefachim tall, right? And within 3 tefachim of the schach, right? So then right, we say that's lovin, and that's fine, right? But once the animal dips beneath 7 tefachim, so then you're toast. Because you need a minimum wall of 10 tefachim, right? You can have 7 and then use lavud to get you up to the 10 tefachim, but once the animal dips slightly beneath the 7, so then you're not within lavud anymore, then you don't even have the 10 tefachim of the wall. So therefore, that's what we're concerned about. Mokim b'pachos mishosha samach l'schach, right? It's less than 3 tefachim. That's next to the schach. And then, v'kimet demaisek, kavtza v'lavadayte, right? Maybe sometimes, but when it dies, right, it's obviously not going to, even if it doesn't fall all the way to the ground, it will shrink a little bit, it will kind of fall and bend over a little bit when once it passes away, so then you're going to lose the height there, and you won't have a full wall at all. Okay, now, what we said before is that Remeir Rabbi Yehuda have machokas, right, whether, right, when Misa, right, and we're concerned whether the animal is going to die, right? If Rabbi Meir had said, I called Abba She'eshbo Ruach Chaim in Osun, Oso Lodof on the Sukkah, right, Rabbi Meir said, you're not allowed to use an animal for a wall. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's fine, right? And one of the ways we explained to Rabbi Meir was that because maybe it will die, right? That was according to Abaye. So according to Abaye, so umi amar Abaye, Rabbi Meir chayish lemita misa, Rabbi Yehuda lo chayish lemisa, right? Well, not lemisa, but does Abaye really say that Rabbi Meir is the one who's concerned that an animal, that something will die, and Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned? We learned exactly the opposite. And this is going to take us into Motzei Shabbos, so we'll do a little bit now. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah, right? Bas Yisrael shenisis l'kohen, right? If Bas Yisrael is married to a kohen, and obviously, so not obviously, but the halacha is that a Bas Yisrael is allowed to eat truma as long as she is married. So let's say v'halach ba'alo medinas hayam, and now her husband, who's the kohen, travels overseas. Back then, traveling overseas was not as easy as I just did this week. It was very, very dangerous. So what's the deal? So the halacha is ochelas b'truma b'cheska shu kayim. Right? We assume that the husband is still alive, and i.e. who cares? And she's allowed to eat truma. We assume that they're still married. We assume that he is still alive. And even though it's a dangerous proposition, we mean in Allah, and we pointed out a stira in Brisa's, or the Mishnah, probably Brisa, right? Hare Zeg, where is this here? Okay. Hare Zeg Yitech, right. Okay, the Sukkis are in Gittin, but okay. Otherwise, also in Nadarim as well. Hare Zeg Yitech Sha Achas Kodam Misasi. If a person gives a get to his wife and says, this is your get a moment before I die, meaning the husband does not want his wife to have to marry his brother, right? He doesn't want her to fall into Yibum, right? If Rahman al-Salam, they don't have kids, and Rahman al-Salam, he dies. Right? So if he says, here's my get a moment before I die, so then Asur lechol b'truma miyad. It's usur for her to eat truma right away, because we're concerned maybe he'll die the next moment, and this moment, right now, which is in the present, right? Then she will not be married to a kohen anymore, and it'll be asur for her to eat truma. And so those brises are contradictory, right? Do we assume a guy could die any minute, or do we not assume that a guy could die any minute? Similarly, in our case, do we assume the animal could die or not? Are we concerned for that? And Amar Abaye, and Abaye was the one who said lo kasha, that it's a stira, that we answer the stira as follows: Rabbi Meir d'lo chayish lemisa, Rabbi Yehuda chayish lemisa. That the two brises are simply different mandamars, there's different opinions. Rabbi Meir is the one who says we're not concerned for the husband dying, and therefore if he goes to Medina Sayam, his wife can eat truma. And Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that we are concerned that a guy might die, and therefore if Cohen gives a get to his wife and says this is a get right before I die, so then the wife cannot eat truma at any moment because we're concerned that he may die. That's exactly the opposite. In our case over here, Rabbi Meir is concerned that the animal will die, therefore you can't use it as a wall for the sukkah, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's fine. So now the next part of the Gemara, we're going to stop here because the next part of the Gemara is going to go on and prove how we know both of those Rabbanim hold those shitas, meaning where did Abaye get that from? He just pulled it out of the hat? No, he proves it from a different place, from a different context, right? Gemara in Bava Kamma and elsewhere in Erevin, etc., if you remember. We're not going to do it now just because it goes on to Amud Aleph and it's Erev Shabbos and time is short. But we'll pick up with this conversation with the Shema Matzi Shabbos. Have a great Shabbos and we'll go fight you in the Hilgish Shas next week.